do it every week. Well, I don't know about how dramatic the change are you talking about. What are you saying? That's what I would ask you. What exactly are you saying?
I guess in what area needs the biggest change? Whether, you know, is it time to try some new people? Is it time to change
We look at personnel all the time. You know what? That happens on a weekly basis. It happens consistently through the course of a year. People evolve and change and go different directions. And we're trying the best to our ability to adapt and to change what we need to change to get ready for Oklahoma State, because they're different. And they're a balanced offense, and they present a different set of problems than what we just faced. So there are some similarities, but the personnel is different. The scheme is a little bit different, and the approach is, you know, going to be a little bit different as in terms of how we attack them. So it does change, and there are changes, but we've just got to make those changes as simple as we can so our kids can play, and that they can play with energy and effort and no hesitation to make the plays that they need to, you know, to be successful.
How much do you put towards Oklahoma State or trying to rebuild their ship to get this team back focused?
I'm sorry, can't hear you.
How much do you put towards preparation for Oklahoma State, and how much do you go toward rebuilding your ship and getting the team back on track?
I think it goes hand in hand. I think there's no question it goes hand in hand. You get through the game film from Sunday, you make all your corrections, and then all of a sudden you pop on the tape from Oklahoma State, and you got a whole new agenda to face, and you got a whole new set of problems that you've got to get prepared for. So you've got to make those changes rapidly, and you got to move on quickly, or else you get stuck in the past. And I'm certain that Oklahoma State's working as fast as they can to get ready for this game, coming off the game they just did with A&M, as any team in the country is. So you only got a short period of time to get ready to find solutions for your next upcoming opponent. But I think it's important to understand that this team wants to win, and they're willing to do anything that they can to win, no matter what it is. You name it. They're open-minded. They're great kids, and they want to find a way. They want to know, you know, what they can do to help this football team. And they want to right the ship, whether it's the captains, the seniors, the team, the freshmen, the sophomores. They all want this thing to be right.
Bill, you said this team's facing a lot of issues. Can you be more specific on what priority you need?
I think more field issues, you know, in terms of offense and defense, consistency issues, execution issues. Those are the biggest things that, you know, that are surrounding us right now. And the ability to perform at a higher level, that's a huge issue for us right now. And to find that level in our game and to reach it and to grasp it and to go after it is the most important aspect that we're focused on right now.
Is there ever a concern that you made these changes recently? Things may be a little too complex for some of your players?
Now, we do it in a very simplified fashion, and we do it in such a fashion that the players, they have a great understanding of what we're doing. Now, that's not to say that there's not going to be error. I mean, you could go through championship teams, you can go through winning teams, losing teams. You're going to have error. It's going to show up. Inevitably, it's going to show up. You just want to minimize it as much as you can. We've got kind of an operating procedure here where if we don't like something in our game plan, if Keller doesn't like something in the game plan, he can come to me and say, "Coach, I really don't like this particular play. I don't feel comfortable with it." You know, we bag it. It's not a big deal. Same thing on defense. If we don't like a certain way something fits, you know, our players have the right to voice that. We listen as coaches and try to come to a happy medium in that respect. So, in terms of mental errors in a game, they happen. They happen to good football teams. They happen to bad football teams. They happen. You're just trying to minimize them, and you're trying to correct it so they don't become repetitive.
Is this team at a point where maybe they're focused too much on not wanting to make mistakes?
I think you can always say that. I think that you can always, you know, make a case for that. You know, that when you're not playing well, you know, you really want to simplify what you're doing so your players do have that ability to go out and execute. I'm not saying that is an issue or problem, but I think it surfaces. I think it happened when you are winning. It's something that occurs. It's not abnormal. It's not nothing out of the norm that occurs to football teams through the course course of the season. I think it happens naturally. Sometimes, you know, there's too much in the plant. Sometimes there's too little in the plant. Sometimes you don't have enough, you know, to cover the different contingencies that you're faced against. So it can work. It can work in opposite form as well. I don't know if that answers your question or not.
Bill, what's the progress or development of this team been since August?
Well, I can't sit here and tell you that it's been great because I haven't. You know, you don't see the result on the field. We don't see the results on the field. So it's growing. It just hasn't been consistent enough in the area of execution. And that's, you know, there's been a lot of good play by a lot of good players, but we're just collectively not consistent enough to come through week in and week out, especially on the defensive side of the ball. And that is an issue. That is something that, you know, we look straight in the eye and we say, we got to fix this. We got to find ways to get our pass rush going. We got to find ways to cover better. We got to get the right people in the game. And we're doing all that. We're trying to get as many of our players on the field as possible to make plays.
But you know, every game's important, but just these next two games at home, how much will they really shape the rest of the season and where it goes?
Well, I don't know that for a fact. I just feel that our focus is on Oklahoma State. And it's a big game. They're all big. Every week, the next game becomes the next biggest game on your schedule. So this is a big game. They're a good football team, Sean. I think if you study them and watch them, you can see the balance in their game on offense. You can see the playmakers that they have at running back, at tight end. The wide receivers are outstanding. So, yeah, of course, it's a big, big game for us. No question about it.
But just from the morale of that, next to kind of build things that help.
Well, again, I'll go back and tell you again, this, I'm just focused on this game, and it's huge, you know, that we do everything in our power to come out with a win. I mean, everything in our power to find ways and find a way to win this football game. That's all we're focused on.
Over the last few days, have you considered the possibility that you won't succeed at Nebraska?
No. Not at all. My hope is always to keep dreams alive, and you know, I think that hope energizes, you know, and doubt destroys. So I'm going to continue to be positive and upbeat and do the best I can. And that's how I've been throughout my career. I can't control anything outside what's going on. And I really, really don't care. All I'm concerned about is our football team and our players and our coaching staff. And that's all I can do is control that aspect and then put the best product we possibly can on the field and let it roll. And that's all my focus is, and that's all I've ever tried to do as a coach.
So have you guys as coaches thought about giving some new kids a chance?
We've played a lot of kids. We've played a lot of kids on special teams. We've played a lot of kids. We've rolled a lot of different players in last week against Missouri. So, yeah, we're always open to create competition on this football team.
This week was the reunion of the 97 mm-hmm. National Championship team. Do you want to use some of those guys that are coming back as motivation to get them in front of you guys to motivate them for the game?
Yeah, I think it's motivation itself that they're coming back, and our team, it's been addressed already to our football team that they are coming back. And the best thing that we can do to honor that championship team is to win this football game and live up to those standards, because those are the standards of Nebraska. Well, there's opportunity to do that. I don't know what kind of schedule that they have. I know there's a banquet involved and all, but again, they should cherish that moment and celebrate that camaraderie between themselves.
Well, you brought up the idea. You brought up such the fans right at the beginning. Mm-hmm. Obviously, your focus is on the team, but how much energy do you spend thinking about the foundation of the program, the support of the program, and not having the erosion of that support out there in the stadium?
Well, I think it's important. I never dismiss that. I think it's very important. That's what makes Nebraska so special. And that's why our players vocalize the importance of winning and doing the best that they can, because they feel a responsibility to this state and to its fans and to each other. And that's where it's at right now. And I've got hope that our players will respond. I really do. I got belief and conviction that they'll do well. But, you know, you got to prove it. You know, talk is cheap. You got to go out and do it.
Say the players feel responsibility to the state and so forth. Does that go for you as well?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I don't know if you were in here earlier, but I certainly do. I certainly feel that responsibility to this program and its traditions and to the state and its fans. There's no question about that.
Coach, in the midst of all the inconsistent things you're talking about, can you talk about maybe the consistency of your kickers, Audie, Dan, Alex? I mean, how they're playing.
Well, Audie's been playing well. I think he has 16 touchbacks on the year, so he's been very important in terms of our coverage unit. When you've got the ability to negate a return team with talent that Oklahoma State has, it's important that you have a guy that can knock it out and, you know, create the long field and create a drive start that is on the long field. So they've been well. Titchener's been consistent, and Jake Wesch has been excellent, you know, in a backup role, has been a good holder for us. And lastly, Alex Henry's been real consistent as a place kicker. So, you know, that's an area that we feel has improved and shown a lot of consistency over the last few weeks and months.
Did you ask those other guys to talk to the team Saturday or Sunday, or did they do that on their own?
I'm sorry.
Swanson was saying some of the older guys spoke to the team on Sunday. Did you guys do that, or did they do that on their own, or did you have a message?
No, I had a message and in that team meeting, and it's really, it stays within the team, Rich, you know, that there were some players that voiced some opinion, but to get into the orchestration of it and all that, I don't think it's very important. But what's important is that a lot of guys stepped up and said a lot of positive things.
How unified is this team?
Very unified. And you know, when you have tough times, you know, it creates chemistry, it creates closeness and togetherness, and guys really truly understand how to battle for one another, and they know exactly what they're playing for, who they're playing for, and that's for this state and for this program and for each other. So I think that's the most important thing that you can take out of this, is that guys hurt, they're disappointed, they're embarrassed, and they want to do well. And that's what came across in our meeting on Sunday. And like I said, talk to Chief. You got to go out and do it again this week. You know, you got to prove it.
But Bill, this given up a lot to prove. You know, given the last month, the kind of yards and points you guys have given up, what do you say to some of the things that you guys just aren't that good?
Well, I don't ever believe that, and I always, again, I keep hope alive and keep looking forward to a positive performance, because I know we're capable of doing that. I see so many signs of it in practice, and again, it comes to the consistency of making a big play. I think, you know, I'm not delusional when I say this to you, but there were opportunities in that game the other night where plays, you know, could have been made. You know, there were some drops, you know, here and there. There were some momentum changers, you know, early in the game that could have made a difference. So, who knows? But, I see positive signs that our team's getting better in certain areas, and there's other areas that we do have issues. So there is inconsistency in that regard, and that's what we're striving for, to be a better football team and become more consistent across the board.
Bill, do you believe that change could happen in a week, or is it longer term fix
than that? Oh, I think it can. I think, you know, you never know. You never know what's going to click or what's going to jumpstart a team or a unit or a position or a phase of your team. So anything can happen. You just got to go back to last weekend and look across the country. You never know what's going to happen. So, again, I'm going to remain optimistic and positive about that happening.
Bill, if I was trying to get a top 4 years to have these problems and stuff,
well, you certainly don't want them. The frustrating part of it is that, you know, we're a good football team, and we haven't shown it. We haven't displayed our best football yet, and that's what's frustrating, because we're capable of doing that. And I think as a team, as a staff, you know, we're all working hard, you know, to try to find a way to get that done. And, you know, there's a very fine line, because, you know, you want to be able to go out and execute, you know, in a relaxed fashion and not feel that you're being pressed, you know, in panic to do so. So, you know, it's important. There's an urgency there, believe me. There's an urgency throughout our program right now to step it up another level. So, you know, that's realized, and that's heartfelt throughout our program.
You'll help with the state's offense teams off the game as well, with all the playmakers they have. What concerns you most about what they do on the offensive side of the ball?
Well, they're extremely balanced, you know, and they can spread the field. They take shots. They got a good vertical passing game, and they got an excellent running game. And so, when you have that type of balance and that type of mix, it can create a lot of problems for you, you know, in terms of, you know, what you need to shut down. So, and then when you got the athletes that they have, and the success, and the overall performances that they've had, you know, you've got a lot of things to defend. So, it's going to be a challenge. There's absolutely no doubt that because this will be our most challenging football game on both sides of the ball.
Is there a place defensively that adjustments that you guys have made have opened up other areas of your defense for your opponents to exploit from 1 week to another?
I think they see it. I think opponents see strengths and weaknesses. You know, when they look, they're going to look at, you know, they're going to, first off, they're going to study schematics and the areas to attack and coverages. So, again, like we were talking about earlier, each week, you know, you're tweaking something within the structure of what you're doing. Very seldom do you ever just stay pat with one basic coverage. Now, some teams do it, and some teams have success with it. But across this conference, the way that it's been structured, there are so many different types of offenses and so many ways that they spread the field that you've got to be able to adjust, you know, the personnel into matchups. It's important that you do. We feel that way anyhow.
How would you assess the chemistry amongst members
of the staff? I think real solid right now. There's no question that we're a tight-knit group. We're a tight staff. You know, we've always communicated well. We're honest. We're open with each other. We work well together. So you always want it better. I think as a staff, you're always looking for ways to find new ways or to reach new heights to elevate the performance of your football team and your players. So you're constant about that dialogue. And from that aspect, that's where I draw my confidence from, is guys engaging in conversation, speaking up, saying what's on their mind, where we got to get better, injecting ideas, you know, creating some other ideas to help us motivationally. So we're working hard at it, believe me. And, you know, this staff takes a lot of pride in what they do. And believe me, they're hurt. They're disappointed, you know, by what we put on the field. And it's our responsibility to get it corrected.
When it comes to an execution of a play, Coach, on that continuum of thinking and reacting, where do you like to see the players?
Well, I want them to be in a position where they can make a play instinctively, where it's already kicked in, that they've had enough repetition and they've had enough practice against a particular look, so that when they see that look in a game, it becomes automatic. And that's the nature of football, is to respond instinctively to what you see in front of you. And that's our goal as a staff, is always to paint the picture for our football team, provide them with the necessary reps and situations that they're going to be in, so that when they hit the game field on Saturday, they've already experienced that, and so that when that play comes to you, you can pull the trigger and make the play.
Do you see any hesitation right now?
I think there's hesitation in a lot of football teams. You know, there's football, you know, it's simple, yet let alone it's sophisticated in some senses. It's simple in the fact that, yeah, you got to block, you got to tackle, you got to catch and throw and do things, but it still comes down to execution. And based on what you're doing schematically, you know, you want those concepts ingrained so where you can react accordingly, you can react instantly, and you can react without thinking, more instinctive.
Coach, you got a senior late linebacker for a lot of seniors in the secondary. You know, some of these inconsistencies surprising.
Well, again, it goes back to looking at your team in a uniform. It's just not one guy. It's team defense. It's just not one aspect. You know, the rush is tied into the coverage. The coverage is tied into the rush. So again, that complementary aspect of team defense, you know, that's the inconsistency that bothers us, is that we're not getting that type of consistency that we want to get on the field, and that lies on our shoulders, obviously.
Affects the on-field adjustments and on-field play calling.
Well, I think when you're in a position that we're in right now, these questions that you ask are questions that are asked throughout the year. These are questions that are asked through periods of success, through periods of struggle. I think as a coach and a player, you always have that dialogue and relationship of what's good, what's bad, what you think. I always went to my players when I coached the offensive line and asked them, what do you think about this? How about that technique? Let's try it this way. What did you feel on that particular block? What did you think here? So that dialogue is constant. That's continual. And what happens in a situation that we're in where you're not having success that you should be having is that those questions surface. Those are common things that happen all the time, and those are things that are more common than you can even imagine. So that dialogue of football between coach and player and coach, it's always happening. And it's not something that just all of a sudden pops up, you know, when you're struggling, you know.
Bill, you had a lot of guys who came to this program, 4- and 5-star recruits, who aren't playing as well as guys at Missouri and Kansas and Kansas State now. How do you explain that?
Well, I don't make the star rankings or anything of that nature. And all I can tell you is that, and I made this statement on signing day years ago, is that the development of a player over four or five year period, is crucial. And I think we all know a lot of players succeed, and a lot of players, you know, don't pan out as well. So, you know, as a general statement in reaction to your question, I think that happens in football. I think when you come here, we tell our freshmen, it doesn't matter if you're a walk-on, a first team, or second team. Everybody has the same opportunity to play. You got to earn your role. You got to earn your spot. And again, you know, those, credit those teams that are doing well. You know, and when we're doing well with players that weren't 4- and 5-star players either. So, you know, I think that's a lot of recruiting talk right now.
How much of that development is on you and your staff versus the kid itself?
I think it's all staff. I think the staff has to develop the team, has to develop the players, has to develop the positions. The staff is going to take a player as far as he can take them, and they never give up, they never hesitate, they never are in a position where, you know, they're going to give up on a guy. They're constantly trying to help somebody elevate their performance, and that's the approach we've taken with developing not only our older players but our younger players that we have on the roster right now.
Is there a point where you evaluate your staff and ask yourself to make changes
in
your staff?
No, I wouldn't say that, and that's an unfair question in terms of changes at this juncture. You know, we're in the midst of a season. They've got my full support. And you need to understand this. You know, all of a sudden when you're having struggles, you know, you don't start firing people left and right. You know, these guys are pros, they're professionals. You know, they've had tremendous success in their careers. And there will be times in each and every one's career where you're going to go through a period where, you know, you don't have the success that you want to have. And you got to continually fight through it. That's the only way I can tell you, Brian. It's the only thing you can do is continue to go work through the problems that you have and try to find ways, means, and solutions to break through. And that's what we're trying to do as a team. But I got a lot of faith and confidence in our staff. They've got my full support. You know, I believe in them. I trust them. And they're good coaches. They're darn good coaches. They're coaches that other people would like to have. I can promise you that.
Okay. How does that translate to the team? How do you manufacture passion? How does that work for a team?
Well, I think you have passion because you love the sport. A lot of it's intrinsic, and a lot of it is also motivational. And you try to get out as much passion as you can out of each and every player. And sometimes you do, and sometimes you don't. And that's the kind of way it goes. But you us as a staff, it's crucial for us to try to find ways to create that passion. And to, you know, and I think the situation that we're in right now, they feel passionate. They feel they want to play. They want to play as best as they can on Saturday. And that's all I can tell you. And again, you know, it's going to be up to how we do on Saturday afternoon and what the results are. And that's the bottom line here. But our players have passion. There's no doubt in my mind. They've worked hard. They're in positions, you know, to have success. A lot of them have, and some of them haven't. And we're just trying to make the ones that haven't more successful in any way we can. Okay, thanks.